Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We are getting an update from Mantaro Precious Metals, traded on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol MNTR and on the OTC QB under the symbol MSLVF. I am chatting with the president, Chris Wilson. Mantaro is focused on the exploration of high-grade precious metal systems in South America. We have talked a lot about the Santa's Gloria project, this high-grade silver asset in the past. The company is still moving this forward. However, we are going to focus a little bit more on this Golden Hill project in Bolivia. The company did release news January 20th that was just an annual letter to shareholders, but it really focused on this Golden Hill project in Bolivia, the drill program in Q1 that's starting up for 5,000 meters. Before we get too much into the work that you guys are going to do right now, Chris, can you give us a little background on this property? What attracted you and Mantaro to sign an option agreement for 80% interest just back in August of last year?
Thanks, Corey. It sort of harkens back to the first days of Mantaro, really. I've said in every interview, I've said, you know, in every shareholder meeting that we were on the hunt for other projects. I couldn't actually say back then that Bolivia was firmly in the sights. From a small team, we've been in and out of Bolivia for 15 years. We were close to putting projects together just before Evo Morales was elected president in the Shield area in gold. And then we had to sit patiently by. Once he was removed from office, I think we were some of the first foreign geologists back in. So Bolivia is an opportunity. It's been on my radar for at least 15 years, and I've worked in and out of Bolivia for those 15 years. And as we started to hear hints that maybe there would be a change of regime there, you know, we could realize what we've been chasing for 15 years. So this has been a long time coming. That's very important to realize. I mean, these are projects that I've really waited patiently for. It absolutely had to have. You know, these are the ones as a little kid. If Santa doesn't put this present in your stocking, you go running to mummy screaming that Santa doesn't love you. You know, this is the present you want at Christmas. Why is that? You know, you've got the Abitibi, you've got the Shield areas of West Africa, Northeast South America, Venezuela, Suriname, Guyana, and Western Australia. These are some of the greatest gold provinces on Earth. The Abitibi, what's that produced? 180, 200 million ounces, probably through the last 100 years. Bolivian Shield, equal size, less than 10 million ounces. Big structures, gold mineralized, showings and small-scale mines all along them. Along comes Golden Hill. Golden Hill is significant for several reasons. It's on a regional crustal suture with greenstone affinity that has another five known deposits, some of which have removed, you know, significant amounts of surface gold. So it's definitely a gold mineralized system, gold mineralized regional structure, greenstone type. But what's really appealing, I believe, about Golden Hills from a corporate perspective is, one, it's a fully permitted mining concession. The present owners have developed to 90 meters underground, reported, unverified, so a little bit nebulous here, but unreported production. It's sort of between 6 to 10 grams per ton. Airbox sample from minus 45 level, 6 grams per ton. So it looks real. The veins are nice, 4 meters wide. So it's a fully permitted mining concession with open pit and underground development down to about minus 90 meters, 30 ton a day was what they were doing, gravity recovered. The second important concept here is, you know, during the frightful years when things were being taken off foreign companies in Bolivia's regime, they never went at wholly owned projects, wholly owned by Bolivian companies. Golden Hills was wholly owned, is wholly owned by one of the bigger private construction companies in Bolivia. The son is now the 99% shareholder. He's on the board of Mantaro. So it's a really nice place to be able to earn into a project that's been in the same group for many, many years, never affected by, you know, changes in legislation or regimes. Fully permitted mining operation, which means we can back and drill anywhere in the property we want, subject to the landowners agreeing, and they are all agreeing at the moment. And drill anywhere we want. We can develop underground. And if we were to drill a resource and forward looking, so don't you know, don't put any weight on that. But if you did find something worth mining, then you can mine, subject to your ability to capitalize. So great geology, greenstone, untested shield, 25 kilometer long structure that we know of with five other deposits, that's six with Golden Hill, safely owned by a large Bolivian company that we're earning into and fully permitted for mining. You know, maybe I'm a little bit blinkered, maybe I'm a little bit biased, but I think that's a rather good scenario.
Chris, can you give us just a little more background on this area where the Golden Hill property is? You guys outline in that news that this is the underexplored orogenic Bolivian shield. What other companies might people know? What other work has been done in this area?
Well, very, very little has been done by other companies. Let's just give a little brief introduction to the shield areas. You know, these are rocks that formed sort of 1.8 to 2.2 billion years ago. The crust was starting to cool, and supposedly all the asteroids coming in on the late heavy bombardment, lots of asteroids, you know, basically enriched the crust with precious metals in platinum group. So the shield areas are this age of several billion years old. That was a time when the Earth's crust was unusually endowed with precious metals. Lots of deposits cluster along major structures. Those structures were sort of former suture zones between microcontinents. So, you know, they're very long-lived, effectively continental margin structures. And you look at the Hollinger-McIntyre and the Abitibi, there's probably 20 or 30 other deposits along 100 plus kilometers of structure. So in the greenstone deposits, you know, you want to be the right age, in that very gold-endowed time in the Earth's history. And then if you're not on one of these structures, you're unlikely to find a large deposit. So in both respects, the shield is correct. It's the right sort of age. It's got these major structures with showings for small-scale mines all along them. It's got the right geology in terms of either side of the fault zone, metavolcanics and metasediments. Those two different types of rocks behave differently in a stress regime. In those contrasts cause fracturing in your fluid flow. So, you know, it's very analogous to West Africa, to the Abitibi, and to the others I previously mentioned. The difference is, you know, there's been no investment. And there's some funny, quirky laws in Bolivia. North of us, there's a pit that we're told has produced 300,000 ounces in the top 35 meters. It's flooded. It's 600 meters long. And there's a sulfidic, very gold-endowed shear sticking out either end of the pond. The pit 600 meters long and flooded. Did they produce 300,000 ounces? I don't know. It's very possible. Now, these are this is a local cooperativa, and Bolivian law forbids you or prohibits you from doing a deal. Foreign companies cannot do deals with cooperativas. And they would love to do a deal because they can't now go below the water table. They can't test or exploit their sulfidic ore body. It's probably one of the greatest untouched targets I know. Maybe I shouldn't be saying that. You know, we'll start the stampede. But you can't just deal with cooperativas. Large areas are held by Comibol. Comibol are opening up. We have good faith that the system is changing. But effectively, you're looking at, you know, imagine the Abitibi with only 10 years work in it, with limited finances. Imagine West Africa that's only been open for limited exploration for 15 years. Both of them have had a lot of money, a lot of mining, mature exploration provinces, multiple cycles, commodity booms, numerous juniors becoming majors. And there's Bolivia. You can't work with some of the groups there. You can't do deals with them. So you've got to pick the eyes out of it. But effectively, you've got one of the last great shield areas on Earth, analogous to all the other good ones, that's just sitting there untouched. You know, we know where we want to go. We're building relationships on the hope that legislation changes. But irrespective of that, to have, you know, almost 6,000 hectares on a 25-kilometer long structure with six deposits along it, that's as good as it gets.
Hey, Chris, you're clearly excited about this project. And hey, some of the, I guess, old data and even surface work that you guys outlined in that news release does show some fairly high-grade gold and some opportunities here. You also have figure one that shows the five different target zones over this four-kilometer stretch. Can you give us a little bit more color in terms of that 5,000-meter program? Where's that going to be focused and what the general pecking order is here?
Yeah, I mean, you know, just coming back to I'm fairly excited. You know, I don't have a lot of friends, so I get excited fairly easily. So the structure is about 10 kilometers long. There are open pits over about 4 kilometers of that strike length with multiple veins. La Escarcha is a significant open pit. They've driven down to minus 90 meters, sunk a shaft. They've driven along 4 different veins. So, you know, in terms of the high intensity part of the concession, you're dealing with up to 4 known veins with open pit, limited open pit development, 4 kilometers of strike. That's a very healthy target. We've got about 600 samples that are in for assay at the moment. These are rock chip grab samples from vein extensions. And there's clearly a lot of other veins within the concessions to be defined. So, you know, if you get bored with dealing with the core 4 kilometers, we've probably got another 4 to 6 kilometers of new veins that are looking rather interesting. Our focus will be around La Escarcha, where we have the underground. And that will be for several reasons. You know, one of the nice things is you can climb down the ladders on the shaft and you can look at this vein down to 90 meters. So effectively, we're looking at, you know, the upper sort of 90 meters of drilling. You know, we're going underground and that's replicating what you'd see in a drill rig. And when you go down these shafts and you can walk across side drifts, cross cuts onto 4 veins, Jake, one of my geologists who's part of this from day one, you know, he was underground when they took a 10-ton blast from the 45 level off a vein that was 4 meters wide. So minus 45 level, 4-meter-wide vein, 10-ton blast. That was crushed on site, sent to SGS Lakefield. 170 kilos went to SGS Lakefield. They did quite a lot of work, and they came up with an average head grade of about 5.8 grams per ton. And there, we looked at a gravity bench scale scenario, unoptimized, first pass test, 73% presents to a gravity circuit. And if you want to cyanide the tails or cyanide the whole sample, about 96 to 97% of the gold presents and is recoverable. So now we want to focus on La Escarcha, just to recap, development to 90 meters underground, 4 veins up to 4 meters wide, multi-phase, look really, really nice. A bulk sample, 10-ton blast, just shy of 6 grams per ton head grade with great gravity recovery. One of the reasons these guys have not gone forward is lack of expertise and lack of capital investment. You know, their 30-ton a day historic operation, they were pulverizing the ore and then recovering the gold over a carpet, you know, just like you could buy from Walmart. Well, you know, so it was really nice to see that SGS Lakefield could come back with 73% gravity recovery unoptimized. So you want to be drilling the initial holes in a scenario such as La Escarcha, where you have the underground. Moving down through Gabby Brownfields, you know, over that next 3 kilometers to the south, multiple veins exposed in open pits. Well, you don't excavate a pit 400 meters long to 30 meters depth unless you're recovering gold. So what that tells you is those systems are gold mineralized along that 4 kilometer strike. The key challenge really is understanding where the mineralized shoots are. Basically, is that regional structure flexures and kinks and changes origin? You get zones of opening and zones of closing. So, you know, not your entire structure will not be mineralized. So it's a matter of, you know, being able to drill in on the places where you have dilation, you have quartz development. In most places where we have quartz development, we tend to find, you know, underground grades. So it's drilling La Escarcha with the options of moving down 4 kilometers to strike.
One quick follow-up then. You have touched a couple times on the fact that this is permitted for mining. Can you tell us what the scale is that the permit does allow? And is this a play to get into near-term production, or is this still an exploration play? Because it does sound like there's a lot of exploration to do on this project.
Yeah, look, I'm always loath to say production because in general, small, you know, small-scale operations or juniors trying to be producers doesn't sit well. You know, depending on who you talk to as a shareholder, you get those, especially London, you know, the old money in London loves a production story, even small scale. stops the dilution. Canada, you know, maybe slightly more, let's drill as opposed to start mining a small puppy. So, you know, I don't want to commit either way. I think this is a very, very healthy exploration target. Again, forward-looking statement, no surety, but it's got the right ingredients on this big regional structure, greenstone style, with this gold mineralized quartz, you know, to be a very sensible place to drill. I think the answer to your question would really lie on, you know, what the markets do over the next year, what our drilling tells us, you know, and what the shareholders start, you know, leaning towards. My preference is always to drill, you know, the best deposit you can. But, you know, the nice thing about Golden Hill is if during that drilling we came across a nice near surface high grade pod, then we do have the option to produce from that. You know, I worked on a probably analogous situation 5 years ago in Brazil where we were using Gecko centrifuge and inline cyanide leach system. You know, that wasn't overly expensive. So I'm really an explorationist. Value is in discovering, you know, the biggest, best possible deposit you can. But if there was a scenario where we hit high grade near surface, then, you know, there is optionality at relatively low capex to go in and produce. So maybe it could be a hybrid, but let's just suck it in and see what the first drilling does. Now, we're presently, as we've mentioned, we are discussing moments of the drill contract, and we would hope to be drilling sort of end quarter one, all things considered. Again, that's a little bit forward-looking. You know, the Omicron variant hasn't helped, and there's a few uncertainties out there, but, you know, there's plenty of high-quality drills available in Bolivia. We're talking with a group we deem to be the best drillers, and significantly, our underground and our work by SGS has allowed us to understand a little bit about, you know, how nuggety the gold is. And I think we can drill sample and subsample in the best possible way to get statistically good results. So, you know, hopefully if we start drilling quarter one, then hopefully by mid-year we'll have a sense of where we're heading. And if small scale production should be considered, or if it's just drill for, you know, the resource.
Perfect. Nice to have that optionality. Let's now move on to some more of the 2022 plans. So the 5,000 meters just starting up at Golden Hill this quarter. What about the Santa's Gloria project in Peru? Now, this is the high grade silver asset. What can you tell us about the work that's planned here this year?
Santa's Glorious. Yeah, that's really going along very nicely. Joss Hantelman, our exploration manager for the whole of South America, he's Peru-based. He's done an extraordinary job in getting three CIRA archaeology permits in place. Basically, what that means is you apply to the Ministry of Archaeology. They come up, they visit the ground, and they say, okay, you either have archaeological items that are going to impede exploration and mining, or you don't. So we've now got three CIRAs covering just about everywhere we would want. There are no archaeological items of note. And CIRAs never expire because obviously if you don't have a castle, you'll never have a castle. You know, if you don't have a monolith, you'll never have a monolith. So basically, about 95% of the Santa's Gloria's concessions and everything we would want to work on has now been cleared of archaeological. That's a really big step, and a lot of companies don't do that. They start drilling, then they want to get more pads, and suddenly they have a problem. So we're clear. We can permit. We also had one of the larger environmental groups in Peru conduct a full environmental survey up there. That's now being submitted. No issues seen. Remember, from previous calls, you know, the photos on the website, there's no real agriculture up there. You know, Clint Eastwood on his horse 40 years ago with a bit of tumbleweed blowing through would not have been out of place. So there's no real trees, no real farming, no real agriculture. And we've got a community agreement in until 2028. So they're pro-mining. So, you know, the environmental hasn't flagged any issues. That's been submitted. We're hoping, you know, within the next month or two, depending on the state of the COVID in government agencies to have our drill permits approved. So then, you know, we know we can drill at Golden Hill in Bolivia. And we're looking at a situation where we're permitted to drill at Santos Glorious. And to recap Santos Glorious, we've got 12 kilometers of veins that have never been drill tested. You know, extensive channel sampling has defined zones on some of those veins up to 400 to 500 meter strike length that are really significantly anomalous in gold and silver, up to 56 grams gold and I think 30-40 ounces silver. And then the historic underground development over probably 2 kilometers above 10,000 grams per ton silver. So it's really a phenomenal target. It's probably important to understand that, you know, historically, the Peruvian miners walked down the valley side following the vein. They drove in 1 or 2 degrees to horizontal, so it was self-draining, and then stoked up so the ore fell out with gravity. Historical miners in Peru did not walk along the flat areas at the top where the vein was oxidized, sink a shaft, and move on to it. So, you know, when we say there's about 12 kilometers of untested vein, Santos Glorious is a sort of a bit of a plateau dropping off into a valley. So most of the veins, with these flat oxidized veins at surface, you know, were never of interest to the historical Peruvian miners. And some of these veins you can follow for a kilometer, anomalous along the kilometer, accessible from a dirt track, 3 to 4 kilometers long, brecciated, multi-phase, and anomalous in gold and silver. So, you know, there's some really very good targets up there. Yeah, that's shaping up to be really good. And to have that one on the back burner to drill, you know, when we want to, that's a really nice scenario.
Okay. So it sounds like that this year you probably will have 2 drill programs up and running. What's the cash in the bank for the company to move forward with these programs, the exploration plans for this year?
All right. Well, you know, just to come back again, you know, definitely we want to move ahead and drill Bolivia, and we want the option to drill Santos Glorious. So, you know, we'd like to get one going and then look at the option for second. Our cash position at the moment's probably just shy of 5 million. So we're looking, you know, relatively pretty at the moment, about 60 million shares, 5 million in the bank. So it's not a bad place to be. We've got the San Jose project up in the, you know, north of Santos Glorious. That looks really nice as well. The issue there is, you know, we don't want to spread ourselves too thin. We've got several hundred thousand dollars of commitments, of cash payments, and about 75,000 left in the ground to fulfill our commitments to 100%. One of the biggest communities up there has signed an access agreement for the next couple of years. So we can hold that one for a while. One of the things I've tried to do with Mantaro is to be able to acquire projects, and we'll continue to do this. We're on the look all the time through the region. Projects that, you know, don't have a 50% JV earning that's suddenly going to have $2 million. We don't have the gun to our head here. It's a really nice scenario to be able to go and tackle a fully permitted gold system in Bolivia. Have all of our permits, our drill permits coming soon, hopefully, for Santos Glorious with community access agreement till 2028 in 12 kilometers of really nice veins to test, and San Jose sitting just to the north with relatively small commitments now and longevity. So it's a good situation to be in with almost 5 million in the bank.
All right, Chris, really appreciate this update. In full disclosure, I am a shareholder of Mantaro Precious Metals. If anybody has any follow-up questions, please email me, fleck@kereport.com, and I will follow up on the back of some more news, because this does sound like a busy year for you guys. And again, if you guys want any more information on any of the properties in the portfolio, please email me. Chris, thanks again for your time, and please keep us up to date on future news.